Welcome to the No Better Time podcast. I'm Phil Salter, and today's guest is a returning guest, actually, his second time on the podcast, Mr. Todd L. Bowerly from Bowerly Consulting. I think Bowerly Consulting Services maybe is the official name. And today in this episode, we're talking about the power of awareness. It was a really great conversation. It's super important to be aware of what makes us tick, right? And how we can go about taking on challenges and putting ourselves in a mental place ahead of time of where we want to be. And that may sound weird, but we get into this. And I didn't get it at first, but as he continued explaining it, it dawned on me, oh, what he's saying is if you want to be in a place in your life, you need to be in the mental mindset of someone who's already in that place and that will manifest itself into your life. Sounds kind of like magical, and that's because it is, and it proves itself in our lives as we do this. And I've seen this in my life as I've kind of had a vision of something, and I put myself there in my mind, and I start acting, and the decisions I make are in line with that life, and then it comes to fruition in one way or another. It's not always going to be exactly the timing or the way we expected, but it's retrospect always comes back around. And sure, maybe we're just trying to look for these things in our lives. But yeah, exactly. If you're looking for these positive things in our lives, we're going to find them. And what's wrong with that, right? One of the things that Todd brings up that is going to be super great for any listener of this podcast, and it's very timely. So hopefully you're hearing this. And if not, there's still a lot to learn here. But he's doing a free 5-day masterclass, an online kind of virtual masterclass with the title, The Secret to Abundant Living. And it's going to be July 26th through 30th from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time during each of those days. You can claim your spot if you go to bowerlyconsulting.mykajabi.com/the-secret-to-abundant-living. It's a long thing, but I'm going to put it in the show notes, a link to this. So you'll be able to click there or tap there. If you go and read the show notes or the information about this episode. And if you go to Bowerly Consulting, let's see here. If I actually look up the actual website, I believe it's just Bowerly Consulting. Let me make sure that, yeah, it's just Bowerly Consulting. This is just a page on his website, but Bowerly is spelled B-A-U-E-R-L-E. If you want to find the website and you can learn more about this stuff and about his consulting services, he's really incredible. He's been such a good friend, and he's a friend to anyone who wants, who reaches out to him. He's a great guy. So hope you enjoy the episode. And I would love for you to follow this podcast. Please rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcast, or if there's an option to do so on whatever platform you use, it means a lot and it helps a lot to get this podcast out there to more people. But really, a huge thing you can do is just if you continue to listen, but if you find an episode that you think would help someone, if you would share the episode, this episode or another episode you've listened to, with someone that you feel would benefit from it, that goes a long way to help spread the message of this podcast and help other people. And if you have feedback, I want to hear it, because I want to create things that are helpful and that are, you know, hitting to the center of what your concerns and struggles are with finances, the mindset around building wealth and believing and changing and making those changes in our lives that are congruent with building wealth. Alexa, stop.
Here's your reminder.
Okay, there we go. Happens every time, right? Not every time, but it's happened before. So please, if you have any feedback, if you want to add to the conversation, you can email me at nobettertime.podcast@gmail.com. And like I said, if you want to respond, add to the conversation, suggest topics, correct me where I'm wrong, anything, I want to hear it. So thanks so much. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to No Better Time, a financial journey with me, Phil Salter, as I learn about finances and investing. Join me and we can grow together towards a bright financial future, because there's no better time than the present to get moving on your financial goals. Todd, this is your second time here doing this podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
And as you recall, last time we
just chatted.
We chatted about what did we talk about last time?
I think we just talked about like getting started and going after your dream. Like we just kind of had a conversation about like what are the factors that bring you to change.
Yeah, that's right. How change is hard, and we can wait until it's painful enough that we have no choice but to change.
Right.
Or we can, you know, get on it and proactively change. And I think ideally we'll change before it gets too painful, but all that matters is that we react and change eventually. Yeah. I guess,
well, that's the whole point of everything, right? Is to grow, is to become more than we are currently.
Yeah. And if we've changed and we've grown, then we can feel good about that. We don't have to think, man, why did I take so long? Who cares, man? There's no set schedule for anybody, right? We all are on our own path.
Well, that's the other thing, is when you finally get to where you want to be, then everything that's in the past or anything that's like a bump in the road that leads you to a point where you felt frustrated in the past or you felt stuck, like all of that makes sense. And it's all okay, because where you're at is amazing. And so there's a lot of grace that you like retroactively extend yourself.
Yes. I like that. Yeah. Let's talk about really quick where you're at.
So
beautiful.
I'm in northern Michigan. It's a slightly hazy, overcast day. Otherwise, the lake would be super blue and amazing. So it's just a little gray. So I'm in northern Michigan. This is part of my goal, life, and dream. It's a family property. I was fortunate enough to have great grandparents that bought a bunch of property in this little town called Glen Arbor, Michigan. And built cottages for all of their kids. They had four kids. And then some of them had more family and bought more property. And so there's been this string of property up here that I came to as a kid. And it was the best time of my life. And so when I was at a point of reinventing myself and saying, okay, what do I really want? If I can be, do, or have whatever I want, what do I want? And what I wanted was the feeling of a kid, the limitless feeling of being a kid, and I could do whatever I want. I could, you know, sleep all day or get up early and read a book, and I could go swimming. I could play in the woods. Like, this was the place that felt like the most abundant to me. I didn't realize it at the time, but it was a place that was most abundant. So my biggest goal was I wanted to spend every summer back here, not just for me, but I've got three boys. My oldest is 12. My youngest is 9. And I wanted to give them the summers that I had growing up. And so this was 2016 when I set that goal. So every summer I come back here all summer long. And I have since 2017, I'll be back here like 8 or 9 weeks this year. It was 10 weeks last year. But it was only like maybe 5 the year before that. And, so it's just a continual expression of like how I want to live my life. So
that's awesome. I love it. I remember when you did this the first time, because I remember you're like, oh, I'm going to Michigan for a period of time. And I was like, I guess. So we're like, we got to get a couple movies in, because we do movie nights before you go. And I remember you saying, I want to be able to do this longer and longer each year. And it's really cool to see this come to reality for you.
Yeah.
So you went through a long period of time. Like, as a child, this was like your special place. Mm-hmm. And you went years without going to this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I was born in Michigan, but we moved to Arizona in 1982. And so we would come back every year for a while as a child. My mom was a school teacher. She would come back for the whole summer. And we'd visit family downstate, and we'd spend I think the longest we ever spent up here was 6 weeks one summer. My dad only had a 2-week vacation. So when he came back, he'd be here for a couple days, and then we'd go downstate and visit family. My parents divorced in 92, and it became less and less frequent. The next longest summer that I was back here was probably about 6 weeks when I was 16. I worked at the grocery store, and it was kind of a miserable time in my life. I mean, like all 16-year-olds, right? But, I was doing that job instead of hanging out on the beach. And then when I grew up and got older, and I'm a poor college kid, like I can't afford to fly out here. I got a job where I've only got so many weeks of vacation. And so mm-hmm. when I look back at my life, like my kids had only been here twice. We came up in 2011 with my youngest son. It was 2010. Excuse me. My youngest son was born in 2008. So he was here a year old. My second son wasn't even born. And then my kids were born in 2010 and 2012 respectively. So we came up again, 2014. So all three of my kids had only been up here one time by the time I set this goal. And now they're up here every year. So
did you find yourself trying to get back to a certain place? It sounds like where you're like, I want to feel that freedom and that.
Yeah.
That's aliveness that I felt back when I was a child. Yeah.
Yeah. It's more chasing a feeling, right? Everything in life is based on feeling, whether you realize it or not. And most people are trying to escape the feeling of being trapped, lost, stuck, frustrated, angry, powerless, unfulfilled, unsatisfied, victimized, whatever it is. We have the negative feelings in life that we're just trying to escape. And so for me, it was just thinking about this was freeing. So it's getting back to that emotional place.
You're focusing on filling it with yourself with a positive feeling and experience rather than saying, I don't want to feel bad. It's like, oh, this will make me feel good.
Yeah.
And this will make me feel free. And then there's not space for the negativity. It's a different way to look at it, a different approach, I think, than focusing on what we don't want. You found a way to get what you wanted and what you needed.
Yeah. Well, you're either motivated by pain or pleasure, which is what we talked mm-hmm. about last time. And so this was I didn't know the word, but the word was abundance. The word was abundant. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have that abundant life, abundant in time, abundant in wealth, abundant in joy and love, and abundant in like all things. Right. And so, this was the place that came to mind.
Wow. Do you find it hard when you first get there each year to slow down and enjoy it? Do you have to like do a transition? Cause you're like,
sometimes
to get to that place where you can kind of release.
Yeah. So like I started my own business in 2017 and I worked a lot that summer up here. I was on the screened in porch back here, in 2017, I it was more vacation because I had two and a half weeks up here, but I did a lot of stuff. 2018, I worked a lot. 2019, I worked a lot. Last year I spent more time doing what I wanted. And that was the first time mm-hmm. in a 30-day period, I earned my annual income in a month, my old annual income, the $35,000 in a month. And this year, my business has succeeded to a point where I really took vacation. Like I came up here and I'm like, I'm going to work as little as possible. And so I've almost felt like work is more of a chore, but I've also dramatically multiplied my income so that I can do that. I could take that time off. But I feel a little bit guilty. Like I should be doing something more. I should be doing something more. So I still have that.
Totally. I mean, I just came back last week. I did like a reunion down in St. George and it wasn't even for a full week, but I decided I didn't even release any podcast episodes last week. Not that anybody noticed, you know, but I was just like, you know what? I had this plan. Like maybe I'll edit. I have these interviews I've done and I need to edit them. And I'm like, had this kind of back in my mind plan, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like let things go and it's going to be okay and just enjoy myself. And that was hard, you know, because I kept thinking of things I could be doing and it's hard to release. It's not that it's bad to be productive, but it's also really good to just enjoy your life and experience the moment.
To be present, right? That's what I'm trying present. To do. Like mm-hmm. you probably noticed, I haven't posted any pictures on Facebook at all this entire trip. And I didn't intentionally do it, but now I feel like, because I love looking at the Facebook memories and go, oh, I remember that in this year and I remember this in that year. And I'm not going to have that for this year just because I'd rather be present. I've taken some pictures, but not a ton. I'm more enjoying the moment than feeling like I've got to document it for something or share it with somebody. Like it's just different this year for me.
That's so interesting because it's true. Like sometimes... I want to like document a really amazing moment because I'm like, oh, dang, like this I have to share this or I want to remember this. But it's like, just experience it, you know? It almost seems like it has more value if you really experience it. You're like distracting yourself from the actual experience when you're too busy thinking about how cool it would be for people to see this or know that I experienced this or whatever. Very cool. So I remember kind of the end of our previous conversation, we're talking about this idea of like, kind of the positivity we put out there and kind of how do we like manifest this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I look at you and you have a very unique opportunity. Not everyone necessarily has a family property on Lake Michigan they can go to for weeks. Doesn't right. mean they couldn't find a way to get that if that was like their the most important thing, right? If that was their goal, they could do it.
Right.
But everyone needs to obviously determine like what is the thing that they want to search for or strive for. In fact, I just started this book called The One Thing just last night. In fact, I don't know who the author is. Let me look it up. The One Thing. And I've only read like the first three chapters, but I'm like, dude, this is going to be really good. It's Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. Like a Papasan chair. I think it's maybe it's Papasan, P-A-P-A-S-A-N. But really cool because the whole idea is like we think we have to focus on all these different things, but really all these comes down to if we can just focus on the one most important thing.
Yeah.
That's will give us success in all these other places. And one of the examples I gave that really resonated with me was you look at Star Wars, right? Mm. Star Wars, the first six movies. I know you'll like this. This is the example they gave, and I'm going to maybe butcher the example, but I'll give it the idea, right? For the first six movies, let's say it made like $30 billion or something. I don't know. Let's just say that's what it was. But what would you say was the one thing that made Star Wars successful? Was it the movies or was it the merchandise?
So the merchandise took off and had a life of its own. But for me, I think it's the emotional impact that people left the theater with, right?
Yeah. Even though they said maybe it was like $90 billion the products made, the mm-hmm. merchandise, but the movies made like maybe a third of it, quarter of it.
Right.
But he's like still the one thing was the movies, because without the movies, no one cares about this merchandise, right?
Well, but also like, because I've been the Star Wars geek that I am, every single time I've seen the original Star Wars in the movie theater, like everyone applauds, like loses their mind when the Death Star explodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason that the merchandise or the soundtrack, by the way, the soundtrack made a ton of money compared to other film scores from 1977, they wanted a piece of that. They wanted to take a piece of that feeling home with them, right? So you buy your little Luke Skywalker and X-Wing action figure and you play the soundtrack to it and you read the book and you read the comics and it feels like you're in the theater when the Death Star explodes and everybody applauds.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is emotional impact this thing did. And so the one thing that makes this so successful is that emotion they're able to bring into people, right?
That's
and
it.
Everything around that, like how do we get that emotion? And whether this was intentional or not, right? But that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
That's what makes it effective. And they... It was like, what are the things we can do to create that emotion? And they did it, right? And
yeah.
It was successful.
Yeah.
So we look at our lives and we say, like, what is the thing we need to focus on? That can be hard to isolate down to the one thing. But like you said, maybe for you, would you say the one thing for you was I want to be free enough to go to Michigan every summer? Was that kind of a big motivating factor? Was that the one thing for you?
That was the one thing for me. It was that mattered more than the money, more than the money goal. Because I had on my goal card, I'm so happy and grateful now that I earn $100,000 over $100,000 a year. Actually, I don't even think I said that. I think I said six figures. I'm so happy and grateful now that I earn six figures and spend long summers at the cottage in Michigan. Like I put the money in there to please my coach at the time. And I wanted to have an income goal and that was like triple my income. But it was this is more than anything what I wanted.
So like if you would go back, you'd say, actually you maybe put that goal because you thought that's what would look good or that person might want you to put, or you don't know maybe, but you say really the most accurate thing would have been spend my summers in at Lake Michigan.
Yeah, that's
right?
It. That's it.
Okay. So how does someone do this? Like, how does someone like, I guess, decide what's going to motivate them and how do they manifest these big goals in their lives to make their life better and more meaningful?
So that's, I mean, we could talk for hours about that.
Yeah.
Because that's
an answer.
That's a process. You know, I think it comes down to being honest with yourself. You've got to be honest first and foremost. Most people are not honest with themselves. Most people are extremely dishonest with themselves. They don't want to admit what they want. They don't want to admit how they do feel. They don't want to admit really any responsibility for their lives. And so it comes down to being honest. Are you 100% happy with where you're at? 99% of the people are going to say no. Okay, then what would you love to have happen to you this year that you're not expecting? I think that's the one question that you can ask yourself. Like, what would you love to have happen? And it's that question is phrased in a way that allows people to just kind of wonder and play with that. Like, oh, I'd love to win, you know, $150 million in the Powerball. Well, why? What would you do with it? How would that change you? How would that change your life? What's the first thing you would go buy? I guarantee you, if you won the Powerball, the first thing you are not going to go pay off all of your bills. Like, screw that. That can wait for next month. Like, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Are you going to take your family on a trip to Disneyland? Are you going to quit your job because you freaking hate it so much? Like, what's the thing that you're going to do? What would you love to have happen to you? And if it's money, why? If it's a relationship, why? If it's like, yeah, and play with that idea. That's how you
like try to put yourself in that mindset, which is hard. Like you said, like to be really honest, and it's hard to maybe like try to really imagine having that much money, right? Like, what would you actually do?
Yeah.
And just be honest. And you're right. Like, it would probably like, let's go somewhere really amazing, you know, do something so I can go pay off my bills. And it's not just all of a sudden having all this money. Oh, I'm happy now. You know, money's not happiness.
No, because you're going to wake up.
I need to ask.
What's funny, like you're going to get that check. And you're going to cash it. And you're going to have $150 million in the bank. And you're going to, like, pardon me for being crass, but you're going to wake up the next morning and go to the bathroom and take a crap in the exact same way you always have for the rest of your life.
Yes. Yes.
Right. You're going to have to eat food. You're going to have to, you know, make your bed. Now you could even hire someone to make your bed, but you are fundamentally going to be the exact same person. And so when you start looking at what do you want, what's the one thing that you would love to have happen to you that you're not expecting this year? I want to find love. I want to find fulfilling career. I want to see my kids succeed. I want to have a lot of money. I want to buy a sports car, have a dream home. I want to take a dream vacation. Why do you want that thing? You want that thing because it's the expression of a feeling or emotion that's polar opposite to what you're feeling. So I want the money because I'm tired of struggling financially. I want to quit my job because I hate working here, because I hate how my boss makes me feel. I want a relationship because I'm lonely, right? What we want is the polar opposite to where we're at. And this is where people don't want to be honest and look into that feeling of loneliness. That's what needs to be addressed. The feeling of lack financially or emotionally, or the stress of a job. That's where your work is. You have to resolve that feeling if you're ever going to manifest anything bigger, better, beyond where you're at.
So I guess if I'm following, it seems like the power is determining what that thing is and really why you want it. Because you might think, I want a sports car, but it's like, really what I want to do is feel free and I can hit the road and just go anywhere I want. Or, you know, whatever, exactly. What really is the thing. And it's like, you don't necessarily, or you really don't need $150 million to get that reality.
Right.
And if you're like, you know what, if I had $150 million, I would just drop everything and go to Disneyland, like you said. It's like, Well, then where's the way I could do that sooner than later? Like, instead of waiting till I have $150 million. Is that kind of what you're getting at a little bit? Is like, well, determining and like taking steps or...
Yes, but what I'm saying is the feeling of where you're at and where you're stuck right now in life is the problem. You feel lack. You feel anger. You feel powerless. You need to resolve that feeling, right? To manifest what it is that you want, you have to feel like it's already happened. Neville Goddard writes about this. He does a lot of spiritual mindset, law of attraction kind of writing, but from like 60 years ago plus. So in his book, The Power of Awareness, he talks about the feeling of the wish fulfilled. What you need to possess is not the thing, the feeling of the wish fulfilled. So if you want a relationship because you're so lonely, you need to not feel lonely for that relationship to show up.
Oh, so you're saying you need to like start manifesting that emotional state. It's like emotionally dressed for the job you want kind of thing. Like you want to be in that place.
That's exactly it. Right. Because once you feel that way, things start happening. Right. Like let's go back to a conversation that we had. I think this was maybe driving up to the funeral for Andy, and Kevin and you and I were in the car, and I was like, you were in between jobs at that point, I think. And I'm like, dude, why don't you just do your photography business full time? The feeling that you had is I can't do that. Right. Because I feel like maybe I get burned out, or maybe I couldn't rely on myself, or I need to have this outside security in a job. Right. That so, so you couldn't imagine doing that thing because of how you felt. However, and I was like, yeah, go buy a drone, because, and you're like, man, that's expensive. And who's going to want drone photography and blah, 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 this and that and the other, right? Like all of those kind of lack ideas. But once you felt like, you know what, maybe I could do more of this. Maybe this is a great, maybe I could get a drone. Maybe once you felt that way, guess what happened? You got the drone, your business grew, right? You're making the podcast. You have to feel that way first for those things to start manifesting.
Well, it's funny because I remember that conversation now, and I remember I've had this kind of thought before, because it's like, it doesn't, just because I have a side business doesn't mean it has to become my full-time thing if I don't want it to be. But the question is, do I really not want it to be, or am I just scared that it can't be? And that's the thing I was remembering, that conversation was like, I don't even know whether or not I want this. I just think I'm too scared about if it's even possible. You know what I mean? And that's like, was totally in the way of me deciding what I even wanted. You know what I mean?
And that's an uncomfortable examination, right? Yes. Most people don't want to sit down and lean into that. This is where that term lean in that Brene Brown talks about, lean into the discomfort. Well, you have to lean into, well, why do you feel like you can't do that? Why are you afraid to question it?
It's so hard to have those honest in dialogues. And when people point it out to you, because I remember I've had conversations with you where you really asked me some very direct questions. We're just kind of casually hanging out for Kevin to show up before I watch a movie. And I'm like, I don't like the way I feel right now. And I'm like, I'm not like mad at you or anything, but I'm just like, I don't like that. I don't like this, you know, but it's like, and I'm thinking there's something wrong, but it's really, it's like, no, man, I'm just having to really get inside my head and my heart a little bit. And that can be really uncomfortable. And many times people might just push that away and say, I don't want to go there anymore. I don't like that place, but it's so necessary, right? You got to traverse those paths, I guess.
You have to, the conflict inside is something to be resolved if you're if you're going to get to where you're at. That's where the work is. Most people like when, because I coach people in law of attraction and abundance and things like that. When, you know, our first conversations are always about what is it that you want? What does that look like? If we work together and I'm going to help you get whatever you want, what does that look like? What's the destination look like? And then why are you not there? And we have some surface level discussions of it. But if I had in that conversation told them, hey, you've got to stare down all of your demons in the face to get what you want, most people would be like, yeah, no, I'm good in the comfort zone. I'm good. I'm good remaining ignorant.
Yes. And so, and you, and the way you kind of say this, like very broadly earlier in this conversation, you're saying like people, like you're afraid, you're not happy. It's like, I mean, is that generally true about people? Would you say? I mean, obviously
100%.
Like, would you say even you, like you've made these steps, would you say even now that's true for you?
100%.
Okay. Like how come?
Well, because, you know, there's, I'm still competing with inner shadows and demons inside of me. The biggest problem that we have is comparing ourselves to other people. And that's actually not even comparing ourselves to other people. It's an imagined comparison. Like, I think that this person must be so much better than me because of what results that they have. And so we kind of like diminish ourselves and elevate ourselves or elevate other people in that comparison. And we try to judge ourselves by our perception of another person. And that creates an inferiority complex. Most people feel inferior to somebody else. And if they don't, they're lying to themselves, because everybody has some insecurity. And so what do they try to do? They try and compensate and try and be more superior than other people. This is the whole, like, you know, the most weak-willed, weak-minded guys go out and buy the super muscle cars, right? To cover that ineptitude. Right. So there's always, we're always compensating based on our perception of other people. And so we, like, always feel that way. And I feel that way too. I have that same challenge sometimes.
But you're happier than you were, I imagine. Like, there's still a reason to do this. Like,
100%.
We're gaining more levels of clarity and self-awareness and happiness and meeting goals, like whether it be physical or emotional. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason to still do this. Because when you're saying this, I'm like, dang, you're always going to be like this? Well, it's like, no, but like on some level, right? We're always.
Otherwise, you're not growing.
I was about to say, what's more depressing than being like, oh, cool, I don't have to do anything ever again. I can just sit here I've arrived. No, we've never fully arrived. That'd be the worst part ever. That's not having been able to grow.
Because whatever success, whatever happens in life to bring you the success of where you're at is not the same things that's going to help keep you there. Right. So as soon as you start arriving, you start sliding backwards. Right. So I've experienced that, you know, I've had crazy success in the last even 6 months. I mean, this year, I don't want to flex, but I feel like sharing some concrete realities with people helps them understand. Like, so I've earned $250,000 this year so far. That's a far cry from $35,000 a year. Yes. And once I hit that and I hit a certain status, I coach for a guy named Bob Proctor, who is just one of the best human potential teachers, one of the best prosperity teachers in the world. I'm one of his top coaches. In fact, I'm probably one of five coaches in the United States that has this level of success with him. And once I hit that level, like I didn't have the next goal in mind and I started backsliding, right? Mm. There's a burden that you carry once you realize that you can be 100% responsible for your life and you can create whatever you want, is that now you know that when your mindset isn't right, that you're screwing it all up.
You're doing it to yourself.
But you're doing it to yourself. And so the whole reason to set the next goal and to grow isn't because I need more money, but there's things and experiences that I want that I know I can have. And if you know that you can do it, then you're compelled to follow through with it, because otherwise, what's the whole point?
So you've taken the whatever pill that takes you out of the matrix. Like, you can't go back. Like, you know,
can't go, yeah, you can't
too go much. Back. You're aware of what's happening. I think that's the name of this episode, is The Power of Awareness. That's what I've decided, because that's where it's at, man.
It is. And everything is about awareness. And most people who aren't honest are just content to like put their heads in the sand and continue to be unaware. And that a lack of awareness is where the powerless victim frustration mentality comes in, which is where 99% of people live.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, on some level, you know, I've been there and I'm still there. Obviously, we all are, like you said, we're all working through things little by little.
But that's, and doing our best.
For me right now, the thing that hit me was this podcast for me is the one thing, because what this podcast has done is pushed me to learn new things, think differently. It's made me do better at work, because now I like think, how can I make the most of where I stand here at work? Maybe I don't do this forever, but if I'm going to be here, I'm going to do it the best I can.
Absolutely.
I've already had opportunities be presented to me to potentially have more leadership opportunities with where I currently work. Cause that's what I want. My business, my side business, I've already been able to make it more passive, because to me, that's what I'm pushing for, is more passive income. I'm already like, I have someone who I'm training to become a photographer so that I don't have to do all the photo shoots anymore. I, you know, all these things. And it's like, wow, these are the things because of this podcast. For me, it's not the only thing, but it's the most important thing I think I'm doing right now.
Well, it's growth. It's growth.
Yeah.
And growth, so by law, needs to be expressed globally. If you're growing inside, by law, it's going to show up in your outside results. Mm. It has to. That's part of natural law, law of correspondence, as within, so without, right? So you're going to grow within. You have to manifest growth opportunities outside of you. And most people are not growing. They're not. Mm. Most people are looking for someone outside of themselves to do the growth. So their boss needs to come up with their professional development plan, or their teacher, you know, or friends or family that they're in, you know, because as kids, we were relying upon our parents to help us grow. But at some point, we need to take responsibility for that growth and start doing it ourselves. And
yeah, like if we just wait for, oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, and most people aren't ready to do that.
Yeah, if we wait for like our manager or our supervisor to tell us this is what you need to do to get to the next level, it's like, no.
Your manager, you know, or supervisor who's probably not growing themselves.
Yeah, I mean, and even if they are, like, everyone's responsible for that, for themselves, you know. And so that's the thing that I'm realizing as people listen to this. That's why this is such so relevant, because my podcast is about learning about investing and building wealth, increasing your passive income. Like, why are we going to do this? Like, what is the motivation? It's because that's what you need to determine. If you're listening to this and you're saying, I want to have an awesome retirement, or I want wealth right now, which is what I want, I'm realizing. It went from me saying, I want to have a great retirement, to like, no, I don't want to wait till then. I want to have wealth now and abundance now. ask yourself these questions. These are going to be hard, but like, ask yourself, why am I doing this? What am I trying to achieve? And put yourself in that mental place now and start growing. And then, like you said, growth will happen externally.
It has to. It
happens internally. It has to, right? It's like a law of the universe or something.
It is. It is. It's one of the laws of the universe.
Wow.
Right. Our environment is a reflection of what's going on inside with us, period. And so if you are stuck, if you are frustrated and your outside reality, you're going to be confronted by all of those things that continue to make you feel that way. So you got to change it from within first, which is where we say, what do you want? Why? That thing is a expression or a manifestation of the opposite feeling and experience that you feel right now. So therefore you've got to work on that inside feeling.
Mm-hmm. So change that feeling inside.
And there's a whole lot more that goes into it, but.
Oh, sure. But I mean, this is great.
We'll apparently do a series of this.
I'm up for it, man. And I'll just say, if people wanted to learn more about you and even reach out to you potentially, because you coach people and you help people with these things.
Yeah. So actually, you know, the best place to follow me and see what I do is on TikTok at Todd L. Bowerly is my handle at TikTok, which I'm sure you can put in the show notes or something.
Yes.
Last name, Bowerle. So follow me there. But actually, I've got a free workshop coming up in like about a week here. So
really?
Yeah. So, July.
Can I get the link to that or something?
I'll send you the registration link. It's July 26th through the 30th. And I'll have some more content that'll go through that weekend. So that's Monday, the 26th of July through the 30th of July is when I'll be doing teaching.
26th or 22nd?
26th.
Oh, so it's the 22nd.
It's another week away.
Okay. 26th through 30th. Through 30th.
Yeah, and it's going to be at noon Eastern time. I'll be here on the deck if the weather's good, doing teaching. It's called the secret to the secret to abundant living.
To abundant living. Well, I'm going to have this episode released on Wednesday of this week.
Rad.
And
plenty of time for people
before this happens. So yeah. For anyone hears this, you'll be able to, you have an opportunity to do this free, like virtual kind of remote workshop thing. They can join live. It sounds like.
Yeah. You can join live. It's going to be streamed on TikTok. I'm going to stream it on Facebook as well.
Okay, cool.
A closed Facebook group. I'll put up links on YouTube for those sessions once they're recorded and done. I'm going to try and figure out a way that I can stream live to YouTube as well. So we'll have a couple of options for people to be watching. There'll be a workbook. Like, come if you're ready to start leaning into the work. And if you have that feeling inside that you want to change and you don't know how to create that abundance in your life, we'll talk about it for sure.
Awesome. Very good. And like I said, I'll get the link from you to where I can put in the show notes so people can get to this as well as the handle for TikTok. Thanks so much, Todd. I appreciate you taking the time again to talk about this stuff. I love talking about these kind of things.
Awesome.
It's so important, and it's so invigorating to talk with someone else who really cares about growth and helps you realize things about yourself. And the more you grow, it never stops being exciting. That's what's cool. You get to this certain milestone, you're like, wow, I feel like so, you can really feel accomplished and great. And then you can just, there's always more, and you can feel that again. You can feel that same rush
of
accomplishment over and over again.
Comes only from stepping into the unknown.
Ah, that's true.
Only, and that's because you realize you have to travel the unknown to get where you want to go. You start to become more and more willing to say, I don't know how to do this, but I know that I can. Therefore, I need to find a way to grow and do that thing. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting. And then the more times you see it's work, the more you just are excited to be like, I don't know how this is going to happen, but it's going to be fun. And it's going to be really exciting when it does.
That's exactly right. That's it.
Well, thanks again, Todd.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for listening. You can support the No Better Time podcast by going to anchor.fm/nobettertime and selecting the support button. But the best support you can give is by listening and engaging. I want to hear from you. Send your thoughts, questions, and topic ideas to nobettertime.podcast@gmail.com Or you can leave a voice message by going to anchor.fm/nobettertime and clicking the message button just below the podcast description. Please subscribe wherever you listen and rate and review if that's an option. Check out the video version of the podcast on YouTube by searching No Better Time Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe there as well. And if this episode would help someone, don't forget to share it with them and let them know about the podcast.